Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from His only begotten Son, who became incarnate for us to win our salvation. Amen. Our sermon this morning is based on the words of Paul to the young pastor Titus. It's found in Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, enlighten us today by your word. Teach us the truth about your word, that he is your Son, he is the Lord, he is true God with you and the Holy Spirit forever. Enlighten us and set us apart from this sin-darkened world that we might be your servants and joyfully proclaim your gospel message to the world. Set us apart by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, why is it that all over the world today, Christians are celebrating? It's a flood of joy rushing through Christian homes this morning because together we're remembering the little child who was born some 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem of Judea. Today, church bells are pealing. His birth is praised from countless pulpits across the globe. Millions of voices are raised to sing hymns and carols and songs of thankfulness. And who is this child that we're celebrating? Whose coming into the world has brought such a great celebration? And why is this? Excuse me. Why is this child wrapped in swaddling, lying in a manger, a feed trough bed in the... Why is he the center of such worldwide attention? Well, he is the Christ child. But what does that mean? He's the one whom God foretold, the Savior, the Christ, who is Lord. He is the one in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the scriptures tell us. God became one of us. He took upon himself our humanity with all its frailty to be born in a dark stable stall with the animals all about lowing. Well, outside 1,000 angels were leading the joyful procession of the shepherds into Bethlehem with their glorious song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We've gathered here this morning to celebrate that great divine mystery that God was manifest in the flesh. Nothing we say or do could possibly capture the infinite depth of that mystery. Human reason cannot fathom it. We could think about it from now until kingdom come and not fully understand what happened there. Even the angels were amazed that the God of all things, the creator of all things, that he has deigned to stoop so low to help us, to become a creature of flesh and blood, a child born in mean circumstances to a betrothed virgin. Only a childlike faith can hold this brilliant truth and worship the Lord nestled there in the straw and the manger. And we are happy. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's what Paul wrote. The flood of Christmas joy flows from this truth. These words are the key, the heaven-sent key to that incomprehensible Christmas miracle. The grace of God which brings salvation has appeared to all men. The gates of paradise are open, fellow redeemed. Grace, heaven, salvation, open wide to all for all time and eternity. So today, this Christmas morning, let us take delight in Paul's Christmas sermon words. From the loftiest heights of Christmas glory and the lowliest stable stall, Paul preaches. Now, does he preach with sternness about the wrath of the righteous and just God? Does he point our attention to the law with all its requirements? It's all true, what the law says. But if Paul had done this, what a frightening sermon this would have to be. That the righteousness of God has appeared would be a scary thing. For God hates sin. His condemnation pronounced upon us all would be well deserved. It was our sin that made that rude manger a necessity. It was our sin that meant that that little boy was destined for the cross outside of Jerusalem on Calvary. He did that for us. But this is not what Paul preaches, the righteousness of the law. Nor does he say here that the love of God has appeared. Now that would be more endearing and a lot less frightening. And yet we know that a parent's love for his disobedient children comes with chastisement and discipline and punishment. The world around us likes to imagine a God who loves even when the world continues to live without him and to spurn his love. But we must not buy into that self-deception. God's eternal love wants to save us, but God's perfect righteousness must condemn sin. Paul does not preach of God's righteousness or love, but rather he preaches of the grace of God that brings salvation. He preaches grace, undeserved love. He preaches of the child who reconciles God's righteousness and his love. Grace is Paul's emphasis. Grace is the word for today, the word that sums up the meaning of Christmas. But we might ask ourselves, how can grace triumph over righteousness and justice? Think of it this way. If a debtor cannot pay his debt, should a righteous and just judge simply let him off the hook? Well, if he did, then that judge would no longer be righteous and just. But if instead that judge pays the debt himself and forgives the man that debt, then justice is served and the judge remains righteous. We're the debtors in that picture. If our sins are to be forgiven, a payment is required that we simply cannot make. We can't go back in time and undo our sins. And there's nothing that we have or ever will have that will overcome what we have done when we spurned God's love and broke his commandments. But God himself is there in that manger. God himself. The angels proclaim it. The shepherds proclaim it. All of Scripture proclaims it. The Christians who went before us proclaim it down through the centuries to us. Because of his great love for us, God came down to pay our debt and to forgive us our sins. He came down to do what we cannot do, and not with a show of force. That wouldn't have done the trick. He brought salvation by grace through faith. He entered into our human race and he lived a sinless life from the time he was conceived until the time he commended his spirit to the Father in heaven. And he gave that life, that perfect life, that divine life as a payment for us to make atonement for our sins, to reconcile us to himself as a people saved by grace. That's why Paul preaches with such joy and zeal to Titus. This Christ child's humble coming into the world is part of his work. Work that would lead Jesus from the cradle and life to the tomb and death and the triumph of Easter morning and ascension into heaven, where he rules at the right hand of God for our good. How can it be? Fellow redeemed, don't trouble yourself trying to figure out the depth and height and width of the riches of God's mercy in Christ. You simply cannot do it. It's far beyond our meager minds. He loves us in a way that is far greater and higher and wiser than anything we can imagine. Listen to his word. Listen to what he himself says. Listen to those words that he gave to Paul to write down for our learning today. Jesus is the grace of God that brings salvation. He has appeared. It is that pivotal moment in human history when God himself came to save us. But maybe deep down in a secret part of your heart, you're thinking right now about something awful that you've done, something truly terrible. Or maybe this word doesn't seem so appealing and joyful to you today. Or maybe your family is in tatters and Christmas is a time of strife. Maybe you feel like you'd rather just hide from everything or crawl back into a warm bed rather than come to church and worship. Remember that Paul does not say the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to those who have it all together. He doesn't say that it's to those who are pious and religious. He doesn't say it's to those who feel their sins deeply. Our hearts are all mixed up. That's the consequence of the sin that afflicts our race, and that's precisely what Jesus came to save us from, our sins. And he has appeared to all of mankind. There's not one person, not even one, in the whole wide world excluded from what Jesus did for the whole world. God did not love some part of the world, or some race, or some tribe, or nation. He didn't love some political party, or just the pretty people. God loved the world so that he gave his only Son, the lost, to save. When God's grace appeared here on earth in that stable in Bethlehem, God had you in mind. He had me in mind. He would save us from our sins. And when God's Son suffered and died in your place and my place, he did that for us. God's justice is satisfied. All our sins are paid for. God's love is satisfied. We are his beloved now, through baptism, part of his family, through communion, part of his body, fit in every way for the glories of heaven. Fellow redeemed, come with me, with Paul, with all the saints in your heart today, come to the side of the manger and see in swaddling your glorious God come to save you, and rejoice that he would do this for you. That's the tide of joy that has flooded into the homes of Christians this day, and I hope it floods into your heart even now. What a great day of grace this really is. When you are tempted, when the world seems dark around you, remember where your salvation is found. And in your mind, go there and by faith kneel beside the Christ child at his holy manger. Don't go back into the workaday world without resolving in your heart to hold on to this joy and to share this joy. It's for all people. And today especially, sing the praises of him who saved you and forgave you and has prepared a place in heaven for you. Sing to that Christ child, for he is our salvation, God's grace incarnate. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds unto everlasting life in Christ Jesus. Amen.